today on Living on Every Word.
Cease striving and know that I'm God. Cease striving, let go, relax, and know that I am. Know that I am in control. Know that I am Lord over these circumstances, no matter how great and how grave they are.
Life for all of us has its difficulties, some relatively minor, others catastrophic. What do we do when we face those hard times, those dark days? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how we can overcome in trying times in part one of The Power of Being Still.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 46, and I want you to look at a couple of things with me about this psalm. It is written by the sons of Korah, worship group in Israel. I love the verse in verse 10, cease striving and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations and I'll be exalted in the earth. That is a certainty today. It is a promise. What I love about this passage of scripture that we'll look at all these verses and only verse 10 is in first person God. What I mean by that is that as the sons of Korah write this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they are speaking of God. They are pointing to Him, just as His Word does. And they're making declarations in the midst of some very hard circumstances. And then when you come to 10, it all of a sudden it changes, and it's God that says it. Cease striving. Let go. Relax, is what the Word says. And know that I am. Know that I am God. Know that I am in control. Know that I am Lord over these circumstances, no matter how great and how grave they are. And when I look at stillness, I say, that's not what my flesh wants to do. I don't want to be still. I don't want to let go. I don't want to relax. And that's me. I want to be in control. I want to have all my ducks in a row. I want to know what the next thing that's going to happen. And that's just, and this life is just plain silly. Because we're not promised the next hour, much less the next day. And what these psalmists are saying in writing as they pin this word, especially in 10, that God speaks through our confession, that God speaks to the world, it speaks to one another, it speaks life to others. When I'm making the confessions that they're going to make in such hard circumstances. This year has been a difficult year for us. How many of you could say that in some way? We've all faced difficulty. The question that I would ask, how many of us defaulted in those difficult times, first and foremost, to the stillness of God, to rest in His presence, and to let go and to relax? How many of us did that? I often default to my nature, my old nature, to worry, fear, anxiety, stress. But I want to tell you this. If you're in Christ Jesus, that's not who we are. And if that's not what we are, that's not what we do. We do something very different than the world does. Very different than what our flesh wants to do. We want to do what Jesus would do in the flesh, to be still. And we'll look later on in the sermon what that looks like. Because stillness doesn't necessarily mean the absence of activity or the absence of doing something. Stillness is a position. It's the matter of the heart. It's the matter of the mind that I press in and I trust God. So let's look at a couple of things here, first of all. I want you to notice the context of this whole psalm. The context is natural disasters and national threats. We've had natural disasters in our country. We've had national threats. I don't want to just limit it to that because every day that we live, there's a threat. I want you to notice what he says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains, even if they slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Tsunamis, tidal waves, earthquakes, natural disasters, hurricanes. This is the context. If you'll notice also, he'll go down and he'll talk about the nations in verse 6. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. And he raised his voice and the earth melted. He'll talk about wars and how they cease and how nations come against. But I don't want to just limit this today to just the physical aspects of natural disasters and national threats, because there's something deeper here. Jesus said, when Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. The Father revealed this to you. And oh, by the way, I'm going to build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He doesn't say that the gates of hell will come against it. He says that it wouldn't prevail against it. When you look at your life and you look at the things that come your way, the circumstances that have been hard, if you've gone through a divorce, if you've gone through separation, if you've gone through disappointment, hurt feelings, if you've gone through financial ruin, if you've gone through business failure, if you've gone through moral failures and things like that, if you've been faced with things that just threaten to take away, we've all been there. And many of you said we've been there this past year. And what I would like to do, just as your pastor, is to say that God is Lord. He is God today. And he will be God tomorrow, and he'll be God the next day. And he was God when I was going through the trial, and he was God when I was struggling. He's also God when things are going great, when the world is falling apart and the threat of the enemy is near. But we overcome. We prevail. Question. Are you prevailing today in Christ? Are you pressing into him today in the midst of whatever it is? Yeah, gates of hell come against us. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible says that the devil's a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, that Satan is the one who come to sift you, that the tempter comes to lure you to ruin, to divide you and your spouse, to divide you and your children, to divide churches, to divide the nation, to divide the world. And the question I ask is, what is the context of your trial, your disappointment? You might not say, well, there's not an earthquake going on around me, but there's an earthquake happening in me. There's not a natural disaster happening, but there's one going on, and it's brewing in my life and my heart and in my circumstances. And what I love about this passage of Scripture is notice the confessions. Number one, verse one, God is our refuge, our strength, our present help in trouble. God is. God's the refuge. The word means it's a shelter. It's a shelter from the rain, the storm, or even falsehood. Shelter from junk that comes our way. And what we do with a refuge, we run to it. In the early 60s, I was 5 years old, a hurricane came through New Orleans. It was Hurricane Betsy. My parents had decided to wait it out. You know, they'd always talked about the big one that where the lake would dump into the bowl, which we saw in Katrina. Getting stuck in attics and all those kinds of things. In the middle of the night, it's gotten so bad, and civil service is coming door to door saying, you must get out. I'm telling you, as a five-year-old, it was terrifying. You have telephone poles falling. You have electricity arcing. You have glasses popping out. My dad's carrying me. My mom's carrying my brother. We go to a shelter. It's packed. It's hot. It's stinky. It's horrible. Got to go find another place. Went to another place. Same thing. Finally, we ended up a third-story apartment of a friend. It was an apartment complex that had about 4 or 5 stories. They had sliding glasses in a courtyard, sliding glass doors. And through the night, those sliding glass doors would pop. And you'd hear broken glass through the night. Let me tell you what I remember most about the night, though. The most I remembered about the night is a mom and a dad speaking over their children, it's going to be okay. We're here. Do you know I slept that night? Slept right here on my dad's arm. We ran to refuge, but I found as a five-year-old this refuge in a man, my dad. And my dad said it'd be okay. Go to sleep. And we slept. We slept through the night. God is your refuge. You run to him. God is your strength, is what he says. That's the confession they make in the midst of the struggle. God is my refuge. God is my refuge. He is our refuge. He's our strength. The word means power, ability. It's the thought that we can get through with the strength of God. Because we know that we can't do it on our own. We know that our own strength is weak. It's feeble. God is our strength. Notice the third thing that he says in this verse. He is a very present help in trouble. He says he is an exceeding great present. Right there in the now. Right there meeting you. He is a very present help in time of trouble. That's who God is. And that's what we confess. God is our refuge. It's the confession of his lordship. And when we default to that, I want to tell you, wonderful things begin to happen. I begin to say, he's Lord. The weather's not Lord. The bank's not Lord. My money's not Lord. God is. I go to him, and I go to him first, foremost, in my time of difficulty. Go to the Bible. Go to the scriptures. Find counsel. Find direction. But also speak. Speak it. I found oftentimes that when I'm speaking something, and all of a sudden, there's something coming out of me that I didn't think of, that I've never heard articulated before. God's taught me something. I want to hear him. Start with this passage of Scripture and just make the confession. You're God in the midst of disaster. You're God in the midst of trial. You're God in the midst of a national threat. You're God. That means discipline. That means getting in the Word. Sometimes that means reading. That means studying. That means getting into a class. It means that I am looking and I'm searching with the body of Christ, the church of the living God, to be a part, to learn. And as the Word of God and the Bible enlightens my eyes and speaks to my heart and speaks to my soul, that God seems to come through and speak. God is our refuge, our strength, present help in trouble. The second confession is we will not fear. We will not fear. Why? Because look at verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You mean in the midst of a natural disaster? Oh yeah, there's some heartache and there's difficulty and there's loss. But there's a Spirit of God that makes us glad. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. Do you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God lives in you? The Bible says you are the temple. You are a holy living place of Almighty God. That's good news today because he's not just at our hand. He's in our heart. He's in our lives. We don't fear because God is here and God will help. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Even when nations make uproars and the kingdoms totter, he raises his voice and the earth melts. Listen, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This is the confession that I make. God, you're God and you're my refuge. You're my strength and you're here presently and you're an exceedingly help in this time of trouble. So I trust. I make a choice by an act of my will, by the power of the Spirit, that I won't walk in fear, but I'll walk in trust today. You're here. You will help. You've been here and you've helped. Those are confessions that these guys make in the midst of struggle. It's the confessions we make and believe. Notice the context, natural disaster, national threat, spiritual threat. Notice the confessions, just spoke of them. Third, notice the invitations. The first invitation is from the believer. Notice what he says in verse 8, come and behold the works of the Lord. Come and behold the works of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that your life and my life could be so adventurous, so fantastic, that your life is like a neon sign that says, come and behold the works of God. It's an invitation that we're making. It's not to say, come see how our church is. Come see how great God is. Come and behold the works of the Lord. I believe that in this context, when you're making these confessions, that God moves and God works on your behalf. Come, behold the works of God. You know, I was 18 years old. And I'd been studying something like this about just the whole thought of confessing him when in difficulty. And making that a default button. You know, we've talked about thanking God for everything. Well, back then in those early days, it was just, I was trying to learn to confess and to say, you're Lord of this. You're God. And I was 18 years old. I was living in Houston, going to Houston Baptist and serving on staff at a church. And I had this opportunity to go home for a weekend to surprise my parents. My brother was going to pick me up at the airport. I go to Hobby Airport in Houston, Texas. And I go up to pay with a check, which I've always paid. I said, I'm sorry that you can't take this check. Can't take it. Do you have cash? I don't have cash. You have a credit card? No, I don't have a credit card. I got a gas card. Can use that. I can't use that. Well, this is just kind of disappointment just started to wash over me. And I went, no, God, you are Lord. I know this isn't a disaster. I know this isn't, you know, nations coming against me. I know that this isn't a great temptation at all. But it's how God works. I had a garment bag, and I put it over my back, and I started walking out of the airport, and I look up, and I see this guy that I know from New Orleans, my assistant coach from high school. French, what you doing here? He was a Cajun. So I was on my way home, and, you know, I'm here going to school, and but that's what I'm doing here. I was on my way home, but they've turned me away. I don't have a credit card. I don't have cash. They wouldn't take my check. French. I'll put it on my credit card. You write me a check. You go home for a couple of days. So it was just a wonderful thought. I mean, it was a wonderful thought of God, you know? Something that just in those early days of ministry to say, will you just trust me in the simple things? Is this something that you want to do? Is it something that you're looking forward to doing? And then all the disappointment comes. Sat down with him and his wife. And, you know, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. I was able to tell what God was doing in my life in youth ministry. God, to share the gospel with my coach. God, you're Lord. And then there's been big things, big threats, things that come our way where you take a baby to the doctor and the doctor says, this looks really, really serious. And you fret and you worry and you wonder. Until the blood work comes back. The threat of impending doom, of difficulty. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Come and behold him. Come and see. There's a great story that's familiar. It's not a children's story, though we learn it in children's church and Sunday school. It's the great story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, turn there for just a moment, because I think in this passage of Scripture, as I think about stillness, I think about a young man that hears this trouble. There's a national threat taking place, and Israel is scared to death. Goliath has taunted them for 40 days. He's made a challenge. You pick your guy, come against me. Whoever wins gets the spoils. Israel, the king, is scared to death. David comes on the scene. He's a young boy or a teenager, perhaps 17, 18 years old. And when I think about this whole thought of David and Goliath, and this whole thought of seeking God, being refuge, of running to the shelter, because when you look at Goliath, in just a moment, you're going to see that he runs to the battle. Sometimes the battle is where we find the shelter. Because God's in the midst of us. And instead of running from the battle, we face the battle. And we run to it and we realize, yeah, there's an enemy here, but God is greater than this enemy. And he's going to run to it. Think about it. Think about the things that have gone on in your life that you finally let go and you said, you're Lord, I'll embrace this. I'll embrace this pain. I'll embrace this trial and struggle. I don't like it. I don't want it, but I will embrace it. I will run to it. And when I cross over the threshold of doubt and unbelief and fear, I press over it. And all of a sudden, what do I find? Yeah, the circumstances haven't changed, but God is bigger than he's ever been. Bigger than he's ever been. And sometimes stillness means in my heart I'm still. When everything is raging around me and things are raging around these people, there's national threat. Verse 31, they hear the words of David and they call for David because David has made some statements. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Verse 33, and Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth." He's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from his flock. I went out after him, attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, like one of those lions and one of those bears, since he's taunted the armies of the living God. The Lord who's delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." And then you see the story. He girds himself with all the bronze and all of Saul's armor, and it doesn't fit. It's too big. He says, "Listen, I can't go with these." Verse 39, "not tested them." He took them off, took a stick in his hand, chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in the pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came on and approached him, the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Ruddy, handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "My dog, did you come to me with a stick? Come and see. Come and see, Saul. Come and behold the work of God, Saul. Mighty men of God, mighty men of valor, come and see." He doesn't say that, but he lives it. "Come and behold the mighty work of God. I've seen it in my own silence. I've seen it in the sheepfolds when nobody else was around, when I was writing psalms and I was writing songs and in my reflection, into my stillness. And guess what? I move into the chaos and I move into the war. And guess what? There's still peace as if I'm in the sheepfolds, as if I'm still there. There's a stillness about him, certainty, a confidence. And he faces the giant. Now, the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44, "And the Philistine also said to David, 'Come to me, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field.' And David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hand. I will strike you down, remove your head from you, and I'll give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day, the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel.'" Come behold the works of God. Come behold God's work. In the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your threat, in the midst of your war, in the midst of your struggle, come behold it. Hey, look up. The birds of the air, the wild birds, the vultures, they're already circling, and they're not circling for you, the believer. They're circling for the enemy. Jesus has promised to crush the head of the enemy in your life. "I'm going to do this," he says. "I'm going to confess that he's my God and that you're not. And you're some big thing over in Philistia, but our God's bigger than the big thing over in Philistia. Our God's great. Our God's big. Our God's alive. You're going to know. This assembly is going to know the Lord doesn't deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now when the Philistine rose, came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put in his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank deep into the forehead so that he fell and his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Come and behold the works of the Lord. That's what we say by our life. By our trial, when we go through it and our struggle, that God is at work, and I confess him, that he's God. We won't fear. We won't fear. He is in our midst. He is with us. I love what that psalm goes on to say. He says, do you know what he does? He breaks the spear. In other words, he disarms the enemy. He burns the chariot with fire. He breaks these things. He disarms him. He takes the fangs and the teeth out of the lion and the bear. And he's nothing but a threat to cause you to fear and to doubt. God is in the midst of you today. Look at the second invitation, verse 10. It's from our Father. Be still and know that I'm God. And I'll be exalted in the earth. I'll be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in your circumstance. I'll be exalted in your doubt, the things that you're doubting. I'll be exalted. I'm going to come through for you. You be still and you watch me. The battle is God's. Remember a few months ago? It's not your fight. Not your fight. I think about this whole thought of stillness. I mean, it's like this position that you have in the midst of chaos. It's trust. It's focus. It's finding God's direction. It's seeing his work. It's like catching your breath. And all these things have come on and I stop and I breathe. It's like, for me, it's like a change of mind. It's a change of perspective. It's leaving these matters in my life into God's hands without the anxiety about the issue. It's a calm confidence of mind and heart. It's a stillness of heart, even though I'm moving toward the battle line, even though I'm moving, even though there's things around me, it's a matter of the heart. Be still and know that I'm God. I love this passage because, again, in verse 10, it's the only verse that's first person God. Be still and know that I am God. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Let me ask you a question. Did one moment of worry, anxiety, and fear bring you any closer to the solution of that issue? No, it did not. Didn't. I want you to look, as it was difficult, and maybe you're still going through it, but I want you to look at the moments of victory that you passed through. Those moments that you were able to find the stillness. Stillness in the bad diagnosis. Stillness in the bad word. Stillness as you sat at the kitchen table and you wrung your hands and you put your hand through your hair and you wept with your spouse. Because what you do, you no longer do. The uncertainty of what am I going to do to provide for my family? What am I going to do to make it to this next check? How is God going to move? How is God going to work? Confess him, my friend. He is Lord over your circumstances. He is God. He's your strength. He's your refuge. He's a very present help in trouble. Make that your default. Because when you don't, you go to places that you don't want to go. You wake up in places that you realize you don't want to be. And not only are you in that pit, but you've dragged your spouse into the pit and you've dragged your children into the pit. There is a God. He's in you if you're in Christ today. Would you trust him by defaulting to him? You are Lord. You are God. You are a very present help in trouble. I will not fear. You're in my midst. You're in my life. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman. We want to be a couple. We want to be a family. We want to be a church that just by our life speaks to a lost and dying world and that says, come and see. Come and behold the mighty works of God. You lay that down today and pick up that thought, that belief that he is your God and has not left you.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.